Good evening, everyone. This is Gary Barkalow with you, with John Hard. And for tonight's Campfire Conversation, we are talking to Yvette and David and hopefully Pete Gannon as well. And the purpose around this call, the direction I'd love to go, is that these three went to a program that Dr. Dan Allender has offered at the Allender Center. And what's really fascinating that's intrigued me about this is to do this, what they've done, this training they wanted to receive, this further education, this experience, required a great deal of money and time for them to do. It wasn't something they could simply do passively or on a whim or just in a week's time, that kind of thing. It was a big investment in every way. And so, one, I'm very intrigued that in their pursuit, their passion for, you know, bringing the full effect of their life, as much as they understand now, and pursuing that for more understanding and more depth in that, that they went in this direction. So tonight what we wanted to do is to really talk about that. How did they make that decision? How did they hear about it? What was that like for them? What are they continuing to pursue after that experience? So right now, who we have on the phone is Yvette, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to get to my page right now so I can see who's on. So we have David Geyer and Yvette Bohn are on with us right now. So you guys, thank you for joining us to begin with. And so let me just start off right off by asking this question. How did you hear about this? And why did you pursue it, and how did you make the decision to pursue it, as costly as it was? So, Yvette, why don't you start?
Okay. Well, I had actually I had never really heard Dan Allender speak. Actually, I don't think I'd ever heard him speak, and I didn't actually read anything that he had put out either, but I had heard his name several times just through the communities. People that I know, and had actually had his book, Bold Love, referred to me on several occasions over, several years. And I had written it down in my journal several times, but had never actually picked it up. And so it was about, not January of this year, but January of the year before, I was driving down the road, and I just was going through a lot of difficulty in navigating some relationships. And I just really felt like God said, turn around and go buy the book. And I went back, did a U-turn on this road, went to this Christian bookstore, and they had just opened. And I walked in, and I asked the lady if she had the book Bold Love by Dan Allender. And she, you know, pulled it up on her computer, and she said, we have one book, and it's on the clearance shelf. And it was right behind her. She turned around and handed it to me, and it was 50% off. And so I kind of felt like God was like, yeah, this was really meant for you. So I started to read the book, and I just fell in love with it. The language was not foreign to me, but it kind of felt like a culmination of everything I had been learning over the past 10 years of my journey, especially through, you know, what you and Lee have offered, through Ransomed Heart, through my counselor, who ironically was trained under Dan Allender back in the 90s when he was at Colorado Christian. Mm-hmm. So it was just really crazy because here I was reading this book and everything just started to crystallize into this really big picture. And what I had noticed in the book is it talked a lot about being able to enter people's story with courage and boldness and tenderness and patience. And I thought, wow, courage, I've got that. Bold, I've got that. Tender, no, I'm working on that. Patient, I'm not patient at all. And I just knew that I really wanted to grow in that, and I really wanted to be able to speak that language well to help, I guess, people kind of get into this full cycle of the gospel through repentance and kind of being willing to lay their life down for others. And so I started to Google him online, and I came across the Allender Center and the certificate program, and I liked what I read on there. And I thought, gosh, I really want to do this, but it's really expensive, and it's 4 weekends, and it's homework in between, and I don't know if I can do and commit to this nine-month program, and there's no way my husband's going to think this is a good idea, but it just didn't leave me. And I just felt like God said, I want you to pursue this. This is really going to help you to grow in tenderness and patience and strength. And so I pursued it. So that's kind of how I got there.
Okay. David?
Yeah, you know, I'm a lot in common with Yvette. Little bits and pieces of Dan's work over the years, but, I wasn't a student of Dan or his writings. The best I could say is like, I've sort of picked up the scent of their spirit, their method, their way for probably 20, 25 years. And I've just encountered some really good people. And I started to realize they all have something in common. And it was somehow they were connected there. So I, too, went on the website and realized they had the certificate program. I can't remember if someone told me about that or just encouraged me to get on the site. I don't remember. And we went from there. And that's how I connected. So, when you actually kind of see or feel, or I call smell something on a person, you know that there's been real change in their life. And mm-hmm. and so I knew there was something substantive there. And there is. I mean, it's an amazing place.
Mm-hmm. So what were you hoping? Somebody keeps calling me. I'm sorry, my phone keeps ringing. They call me repeatedly from Arizona. I don't know who that is. Anyway.
Maybe it's
Pete. Yeah, except it was in Colorado Springs. So, yeah, I wish it was. So what was it you were hoping to get out of this program, you know, as you're signing up, putting down the deposit, knowing that this is going to be your full-time attention for almost a year, I mean, for many, many months? What were you hoping to get out of this?
How about you, Yvette? Want to jump in again?
Yeah, I don't know if I didn't really know. I think I kind of went in a little bit blind. I was hoping, I knew that I liked the idea of counseling. I wanted to somehow be equipped to help people more, and I wanted to grow in that, and I wanted to be able to speak the language effectively, you know, that with a tenderness in a patient. So I was hoping to get that. I don't know how much I thought about that, but.
Okay, so with what you just said, I mean, have you always been drawn toward, passionate about helping somebody work through the kind of interior hindrances in their life to becoming who they want to become or know they should become? I mean, is that, or was this more of an exploration of, I'd take this and just see if I'm fascinated with this, if I'm passionate about this?
I think I've always been naturally drawn to hard things, and I've always been naturally drawn to places where, like walking into a system and say, in zoning in on the place of dysfunction. And I feel like I can do that really well in people's stories as well. And so I knew that there was this part of me that could say, this is where it's out of whack. And if this can get back in alignment, then this full circle can happen again. And so when I had read that book, though, you know, I know I referenced that book, and the whole program is not just that book. It's so much more than that. But I guess I knew that that was true about me. And so I had a passion to develop that more because I believe that I could help people with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers that.
Yeah. David, what about you?
Well, in some ways I've been comfortable with pain and suffering. Comfortable in the sense that, I don't know if I'm necessarily drawn to it, but there's just a comfort level in stuff that's going wrong. And, mm-hmm. I'm smiling. You can't see that, but when I did your calling, that was quite some time ago, and we did the picture exercise. There was this picture of a guy, kind of has that one of those rescue helmets on. He's like a, wilderness guy. That's his outfit. But there's this huge eruption. There's this volcano just losing it behind him, and he just had this look that I love. Like, wow, we can handle that, you know. And there was just this strong, like, it's blowing up, but yeah, together we can go through this. So, I think there is something that, you know, God shapes and forms you. And to, you know, what you're going to be drawn to and love. And to go to the center of that, I mean, I'm smiling also because you and I have a lot in common. Because I kind of went in blind, like, it's almost embarrassing to say. I didn't even know it was about trauma. Like, I was like, oh, it's drama. And I mean, I'm like, how did I miss that?
Yeah.
But I knew once I got there, okay, first of all, what does trauma mean? You know, how universal mm-hmm. it is. And really, guys, I went there because I knew people had life there. I just believed that that was going to be contagious. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was. I mean, they're not content. I think, you know, Vivette would understand what I'm saying. I think mm-hmm. I think you agree. They're not content in life. They want more. They want more of the people around them. You can't hide there. They want more mm-hmm. life. They want to do good work in the world. They want to make a difference mm-hmm. against evil. And, you know, on an average Wednesday, how many people like that do you, bump into? So, again, I was like, right. I need to be around people that, you know, heaven and earth are together. They see that. And they're gonna expand the kingdom before they're dead, and they're doing it. I mean, is it not fun, Yvette? And in some ways, I mean, it's just fun to be there.
It is painfully yeah. fun, but fun. Yeah,
yeah.
I knew. You know what was interesting when the first weekend I walked in, I'd never been to Seattle before. I was really intimidated because, you know, like a third of the people in the program are practicing therapists, they're licensed. And I thought, here I'm going to this graduate school for this program through this, you know, the center, and I've never been to college. And I was just really intimidated. And when I walked in there and I just started to meet the people, and then we sat down and Dan started speaking for the first lecture, I was so overwhelmed with emotion. I almost couldn't stop crying. I just started to cry, and it was about to become an ugly cry because I knew I was exactly where I needed to be. I mean, something, a deep desire in me was being met, and I had yet to understand what was being met. It was just really cool.
Yeah. So I want to say to everybody listening to this that what we're not doing tonight is a promotional for the Dan Allender Center. Though I'm hearing this going, I want to go to this thing. But what we're doing is really talking about this idea of how God puts something on our heart and says, okay, in order for you to develop this effect that I've given you in this world, this is what I want you to do, in the stepping out, risking, trying. I mean, that's what we're really going after, so that if you mm-hmm. think we're just promoting this, we're not doing that, though it sounds so great, it is promoting it, but that's not the purpose. That's not what we're trying to do. So, okay, so this is fascinating. Now, so you get out there, you're starting to give your initial experience out there, Yvette. That's exactly where I wanted you guys to go. So you go out there, now you're in, you're committed, I'm guessing you're kind of finding out that it's a little deeper, maybe a little harder, a little more involved than maybe you originally thought. And so if that's true, you know, let us know. And then also, so where did you go with that? Now, Yvette, you just talked about kind of feeling overwhelmed, but knowing that this is where you're supposed to be. But talk more mm-hmm. about that, your experience of being there for you personally, and how you were looking at how is this going to play out in my life.
Hmm. Well, I went into the advanced certificate. They allowed me to do so because I'm registered as a therapist. And so there was that intimidation in the sense that I think everybody in my group, you know, was a practicing therapist, except me. So then I'm like, okay, so not only am I kind of in this group therapy world, I'm in a group therapy environment with a bunch of therapists. So, you know, there's just that, so what's this going to feel like? And that dissipated. It really just turned into fascination. Some of the reading was pretty while some of it was heavy, I didn't get to all of it. I mean, I teach for a living. I do a fair amount of reading. I don't, you know, so yeah, I mean, their avenue, again, I don't know if there's a difference in the curriculum between the certificate and the advanced. I mean, I think they're virtually the same, but we had some heavy duty reading, you know, and mm-hmm. neurology, how the brain's made up, what trauma does, you know, kind of the psychosomatic approach, how mind and body connect. So, yeah, but I mean, again, there's a warmth there. They're serious too, but I mean, I think it's wonderful that they just have this nice little place off the side of the room where there's good food and you just get to, I mean, you get to talk. I met some really good people out there. I've met people last year that there's barely been a week that's gone by that I haven't called and talked. So, meaning, yeah, you know, when you start getting some community, yeah, then all that other stuff kind of fades away.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, just for context, I'm just reading from their page, but they said that that what they emphasize in this certificate program, and you started mentioning this, David, was they said the nature of story, the impact of trauma and abuse, neurobiology, attachment, the biblical narrative, the categories of faith, hope, and love, family of origin, and the interplay of trauma, theology, and spiritual formation. So just for all of us listening, that's what they say, that's what they emphasize. It sounds fascinating.
And quite a bit about sexuality and sexual identity, too, because they really get primary. Yeah. You know,
that's what I was going to say. I knew that right away from the very first weekend, I was going to have to become very comfortable with a lot of terms, a lot of sexual terms, and a whole lot of stuff in the realm of sexuality that I had just never sat down and listened to before. And it was like, wow, I'm going to get quite an education in regards to all of this. And it was, so that was very disruptive too. But they handled it with such integrity. It was really good.
Yeah. I had a student that had gone through their program. Say, we were basically getting, you know, 1 year of their graduate program in those 4 weekends. So it can be intense. Let me go here real quick. I don't want to go long, but faith, hope, and love, I would say it's actually the DNA of the approach, the way Dan handles it. And he does it beautifully. But, you know, he defines faith as being able to trust, and trust comes from attachment. Trust comes from understanding that your world is good. And when, you know, what shapes us and affects us, and especially pain and trauma, is that we literally don't have the capacity to have faith. And somehow that's really hopeful, because some of us struggle with faith and it's like, man, I'm just not doing enough. I'm not trusting God enough. But to understand that faith really is formed and shaped in you emotionally and physically, that's amazing. And it's rooted in the past. Then hope is your ability to actually imagine a future. And Dan does an amazing job to say, you know, when you live in a place where there's a lot of crisis and you've not been healed and you've literally kind of shaped your brain to live in crisis mode, you can't have hope, because your brain, that part of that frontal part of your brain, goes offline. You can't imagine a good future. And so for me, they grew up with a lot of religion to go, wait a minute, this is amazing. You know, that faith is, well, it just lit me up. I mean, to understand faith as historical, and learning to trust, learning to attach, and hope, learning to imagine a good future and believe that there's goodness in the world is spectacular. And then love is to kind of live between the two and to mutually enjoy pleasure, to give and to receive pleasure, because we're rooted in trust and we're fueled by hope, and that allows us to love well. So faith, hope, and love isn't simply one of the frameworks. I don't know, they give you several, don't they, Yvette? But I would say it's the DNA of their message. And and I love theology in some ways, so that I have deep gratitude for those concepts. I mean, it was beyond just interesting.
You know, and I see here too, reading just some of his description, he did talk about, and we look through the lens of faith, hope, love, and calling. And Yvette, you had emailed me at the end of the course, before you had concluded, I believe, and talked about it, kind of some work you had to do on this idea of your calling and how the picture exercise had really helped you. What did he do in the area of calling?
in the area of calling, at the area of calling we were, that was kind of our fourth segment that we went through. It was kind of a culmination of really a lot. I mean, I felt like, I don't know, David and Pete probably feel the same way, that I think we were so equipped in the Allender Center at that program because of having the experience with you through calling. There were certain people there that were in my group it was very new to, but I just felt like I had such a good foundation, you know, having been through your calling retreat, that I guess to really look at the area of prophet, priest, and king, you know, kind of what that means, and you know, back through story, the assaults on our life. So because when we start in the beginning, we really start with stories of trauma in our childhood. I mean, in the way that we're being trained by route of our own story. So we're going deep into our own story so that we can learn to go deep into others. But we start in the area of childhood, we go into family of origin, we go into development of sexuality, and you just see the connection of all this stuff and how, you know, the assault on your life has played out, and how you've been set up for these places where the enemy has had these strongholds. And so you get to see, you know, as David was saying, the faith, hope, and love, and how those individually kind of line up with prophet, priest, and king. And so that's kind of where we went as far as calling goes there. And then to imagine what we would, you know, what we want to do. And I think kind of the instruction we were given in the beginning was to say, where do you say hell no to in the kingdom of God? And where do you say heaven yes to? Where are you passionate about enough to say those and begin there?
Yeah, really well put, Yvette. And it's almost seamless in an overlay to your framework, Gary, and that's the idea of story, desire, and walking with God. So, I mean, we did have the advantage of having a richer understanding of what we mean when we say a person's story, because you do a really good job of saying, you know, there's lots to your story, what's shaped you, what's formed you, historic desires that have been consistent, and where you've been assaulted and shamed. And a lot of that is where Dan goes in the idea. You know, relational strategy is a big piece to Dan's work as well, meaning that, you know, we've tried to figure out how to find shalom again in our own way. And it's the way we pose. It's the way it's what we present to the world. It's what we hide. And there isn't a criticism of it. It's just that, you know, you need to uncover it. And what... What's different than a retreat is, I mean, you're doing, I mean, Yvette, I was trying to think the other day, how many hours are we actually in group time? I want to say 7?
60.
Eight? Well, yeah, okay,
total.
So divided by 4.
60 hours.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of group time. And so, you know, your relational strategy, it's coming up. Like, and some of these faculty staff are brilliant. Like, I got the sense they had you pegged in about 42 seconds.
Yes. You want to know what it's like, Gary, to walk in there? It is so, like, you're just like, oh great, like you just feel like you're standing there completely naked. Like, I don't stand a chance to pose in front of these people. They've got me pegged.
Yeah,
hard.
You know, I used to experience that from Brent Curtis. You know, back when he was alive, that as soon as his gaze was on me, I thought he just saw everything just then. But he was so kind. So, and of course, he was trained with these guys as well. So I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I thought it was neat too, because I just to be able to experience the whole process, and just really having, you know, your book. And I've always told people your book is so great because it's a resource that you go back to over and over again that kind of just helps you navigate the area of calling. And I remember my picture exercises, and I remember the women in my group from your retreat. And so when things would happen to me during this course of this program, it would just kind of like ping off those things that you guys had spoken to me, or the pictures would come to mind. And so everything just became more true that I had already learned about myself. It just became more true, and the pictures just got clearer, and my vision got more focused on where I want to go. I don't feel like I have to kind of still try to figure it out. I really feel like I found the place that I want to live out my heaven yes to.
Yeah, that's good. So let me ask a question that Jim McFarlane is asking in Basecamp. And then after that, John, I've not even given you a chance to ask a question. So you're after Jim's question, okay?
Okay.
So the question that Jim's asking is, he said, did you have to share personal feelings not previously shared before?
Oh, my gosh.
How would you answer that?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's just say you're going to be there. Yeah, you move into you move into private places for sure. I mean, for sure. I mean, you're going to express and share feelings, but you're going to you come to every session with a story of trauma of your own. So this isn't just theory. This is you're going to sit with six other human people, hopefully they're human, six other human beings, and you're going to actually read your story. And they're so brilliant. They'll pick up on syntax and why you even wrote mm-hmm. things the way, the inflection of your voice. And so, you're sharing it all, and you're sharing it when you don't even know you're sharing it.
Exactly. Hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
It's like CSI. I mean, they make a joke and say, you know, counseling is like a crime scene, and they are really good at picking up evidence. And the big piece for me, I don't want to get too much into the hands-on, but so I ignore my body. I ignore most people's bodies. I don't think in terms of, you know, my brain's connected to my body. And, I mean, you don't get out of that. I mean, you can learn so much about a person if you just start to attune to their body. They're giving you clues. Watch their breathing. Watch their posture. And also just be kind in saying, how are you feeling and where are you feeling that? So not only is it private feelings as in emotions, I think you're I'm sorry, I forgot the guy's name, but just asked the question. Yeah. It's also how you're physically feeling, because they're connected.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yvette, anything to add to that?
No, I think you said that really well.
Okay. So, John, you have a question?
Well, I'm just fascinated by the fact that you both have done this and the cost. And I'm thinking of Yvette flying from South Florida to Seattle, Washington once a month.
Yeah.
The time cost alone is horrendous. I'm curious, I have two questions, but the first one is, what were your spouse's first reactions to the suggestion that you would do this? And how did you finally get their support? They must have seen something in you that they knew this really was a match.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that when I first told my husband, he wasn't excited about it. And he just said, I think you're too busy with everything else in your life to do it. And I talked to my best friend and she said the same thing. So all the people in my life that were closest to me basically gave me no, you shouldn't do this. But I just really felt compelled. I mean, there was a compelling in me that I knew, because I've had wise people like you guys tell me to pay attention to that. I knew that I should pursue this, and that if the doors would be opened and I went through the interview process and the application process and got accepted, that I needed to just do that in faith. Because it is, I mean, I think by the time you get done spending, you know, for the tuition and travel, I mean, I think it's between $8,000 and $9,000. It is expensive. That is a ton of money. And I was like, I don't know where all that's going to come from. But I just felt like God said, I really am asking you to step out in faith here. And every step of the way, and every time a tuition payment is due, I just need you to trust that I'm going to provide it. And he did. So.
Hmm. Yeah. And if you enjoy a good drink, you might as well add about, I don't know, $800 or something to that. Because Seattle's expensive, man. You get a martini and it's like $9.50, $11.50. So you have a choice. You can either eat or drink, but you usually can't do both. I mean, there is a cost to it for sure. And Becky, you know, Becky's probably – my wife's, you know, probably one of my strongest, if not the strongest ally in my life. So she's been after me for years to, you know, to really do the work to move out of where I am. And, you know, and I love a lot of what I do in higher ed and stuff, but, you know, I think we had the advantage of, you know, both of us have been through your calling, so that really helped, you know, and both spouses kind of get it. So she was like, yeah, you need to do this. I mean, go for it. So, but again, I mean, that's not, I mean, that is a compliment to my wife, but that's not the way it should happen or something. It's just that we're just in a place where she's like, David, you got to go, go, go. I'm a little bit older too, you know, I mean, so, you know, there's a sense of urgency there. Let's do it. Life does not roll in on a cart. Sometimes you're surprised and that's really fun, but what you want, you got to go after go do the work. And it's fun and hard and you get to grow. You literally get to watch the countenance, the posture. You get to see a real person become less edited and more real in front of your eyes in the process of this place.
Well, so that kind of leads into my next question. I'm wondering, how have you seen your effect or your ministry change now that you've gone through this? Can you even give examples? What has been the fruit of this in your life or in the people's lives that you're working with?
I bet you jump in on, because I've been wanting to ask you that.
You know, it's very disruptive to your life to go through this program. So you will have major disruption and change in all relationships of your life. So every relationship of my life has been affected by this. As far as like ministry, as far as relationships, I'm really starting to dial back in certain areas where things have felt more codependent, maybe not as fruitful, and starting to say that I'm going to really enter and invest into places where people want to be real and stuff like that. So I don't know, just, and I had, you know, I've had a couple friends just call me because they must have seen changes in me to ask for advice on handling certain things. And I just had that happen yesterday with a friend, and I was able to help her navigate a cycle of shame and contempt that was causing conflict in relationships. And, you know, when we were done talking on the phone, I just said, that felt so good. It felt so good to just engage in that and just be present with her and just to do what feels natural, which I can finally say and bless instead of feel like I need to feel ashamed of it, to say that's my calling in life. And I've had a lot of shame around the ability to want to do that with people because of my story. And so now I can freely say that and enjoy it and pursue. And, you know, I'll be pursuing more education in the fall so that I can actually become a licensed therapist. So that's another part of the story for me. But
okay.
That is awesome, too.
So,
all right, David, your turn.
Yeah, David, let's hear your answer.
Well, you know, in a way, I don't know if I've shared the story with you or John, Gary, but a number of years ago, I was coming back, and I think it was from some men's kind of event thing. So, I mean, I just had that context. But I was getting on the, you know, the people mover, the little subway that takes you in the airport, and it was really late, and there was nobody on board. And I got on board, and I literally heard in my head, turn around, face the other way. And I'm like, wow, that's an odd word from God. And I chuckled, like, God feels like a stick-up. You know, I'm like, put your hands up, turn around. And I literally did. And, you know, I'm not saying anything out loud, but I'm like, okay, I do feel a little silly, God, but at least no one's looking. So I just turn around and look the other way, and there's a placard on the wall right in front of my face. There's nothing else there. There's no organization that I could see. It just said, if we could read the secret history of our enemies, we should find in each man's life sorrow and suffering enough to disarm all hostility.
Hmm.
And
so good.
Yeah. And so, you know, I love that, you know, I love not only that God speaks, but Yvette literally does a U-turn and goes to a bookstore and says, I need this book, and it's on sale. I love that. And I love that, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, God wants me to read, you know, I don't know, Wadsworth or whoever it is, Longfellow. I don't know who it was that wrote that. And so how has that affected my – I mean – God gave me some serious heads up years ago. If you understood, you know, the pain and the sorrow, you understand the person. Yeah, so, you know, you come back with a better understanding that, you know, first of all, what you see in a person is almost never really them. There's so much more to them if they could unedit and just be themselves. And two, you understand that there's so much more to that person's life than you have any idea about. So, I mean, it's a good way to love another person, is to realize that they've got a story, they've got a past. And the other thing is, you know, I'm into this idea that we're lonely and no one really knows us. We don't know ourselves. Well, it's just true. So most people have not even taken any effort or time, because they don't know how, to know their own life story and to know what's shaped them. They don't talk. No one knows them. No one's read them well. So
yeah. You
start to read people well.
Yeah.
So you both finished this program early May, I think, something like that. And so do you, either one of you, have any regrets, misgivings about taking this course and all that it costs in all those facets of cost? Of, yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah, no, and I don't know if you guys know, I went back for the externship, so I got a double dose.
Yeah.
I did it 2 years running, and I don't have regrets. And I mean, I literally had to do the same thing twice. So, yeah, you know, and there's a point, I think, when you get older, you get a little more understanding. There is something really, really powerful and important about investing in yourself. And it really is an investment. I mean, and you know, Gary, I mean, to walk in who God has made you to be and the effect of your life, you got to invest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like it was, you know, it wasn't like, okay, what does this lead to? And what does this allow me to do? And what are the credentials? You know, we've got a certificate and that's awesome. But it wasn't that. It's like, I need to invest in me. I need to continue to become what I think God wants me to offer.
Mm-hmm.
So no regrets.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think the hardest thing, it's beautiful, but to be able to live with desire, because I think we have to live with so much unmet desire on this side of heaven. And so yet I think I'm drawn to I want to fully feel the desires of my heart, but yet there's also a pain that comes with that, because there's been a lot of loss and there's been a lot of harm in that as well. So that's like, can be a double-edged sword, yet it's so beautiful, and I wouldn't trade it in for anything. But having gone through the program, like you said, to invest in yourself. And, you know, when I sat there, I think through the first session when I got back, and, you know, like David had said earlier, we read all these books on neuroscience. I mean, we had a lot of books to read. And I did, because I'm a good student. I read them all. And I, you know, I made sure I spent a certain amount to read certain chapters every day. And I loved every single bit of it. I loved the stuff that was really heady and scientific, and I love the stuff that was really metaphoric and mythical. And as I went through all this, I realized that I love being a student and I love learning. And I came back and I told one of my friends, I said, I think I want to go to college. I think I want to go to school. And I'm 42 and I want to get a master's degree. And that seems impossible. And how am I possibly going to do this? I think I'm crazy, but this desire, like I can't put a cap on it. I know that it's there and I want to pursue it. And God's been so faithful, you know, through all these other avenues. And so I was surprised to discover that about myself out there. I did not think that would happen. In fact, when I interviewed with them on the phone, I told them one of the reasons I was taking their course is because I would never go back. I would never go to college to get a degree. And I thought that theirs was the next best thing. And here I was, you know, just a couple months afterwards saying, all right, I'm going to go to school. So, yeah.
Huh. Okay, so that was going to be one of my concluding questions, and that is, by taking this pursuit of something that you felt like God wanted you to do to, you know, deepen who you are and therefore what you can offer to others, is your calling more clear to you? So that you started with, well, one thing you know is that you love being a student, And that's given you, sounded like, some direction. You want to continue to pursue training, education. You talked about getting a master's degree. Is anything else clear to you now? And I'm not necessarily saying just because of what Dan and their professors taught, but having pursued this, is there something more clear to you about who you are? And then Yvette, you and then David answer the same thing, if you will.
Yeah, I definitely feel, you know, like David had said, I'm comfortable with pain. And there was a picture I was really drawn to in my calling exercise, even 5 years ago. It was a very one that I had to pick out to identify, you know, myself with. And I couldn't tell the ladies why. I just knew that I was very drawn to it. But over the years, it has grown and grown and grown, and I finally figured it out. It's a picture of a lady. It's a drawing of a lady. In her eyes and the way that she's looking. And she had a look in her face that said, I know it's going to be painful. I know this is going to be hard, but I can do this with you. I can sit with you on this. And you know what? You're going to live on the other side. And I can tell you that not just because that's what I believe, but because I've been there too. And so I really feel like that's my calling, to be able to offer that to people. And I'm really passionate about helping people discover the places in their life that are worth dying for to truly live. Because I believe that that's an essential part of living the Christian story. And I believe it's the most powerful place in our story that we get to share with others. And I want to learn how to be a really good guide in that. So.
Wow. That is some good clarity. David?
Well, I'm Yvette's age plus 10. And, I just started grad school Monday, and I am scared crapless. I've got kids, college, jobs, I travel for work, and I'm like, okay. So, I mean, you know, the whole money thing. You know, after you spend a few thousand, it's all relative. Yeah, whatever. You know, so if I can spend 9, I can spend 30, you know? But honestly, there's a point where you go, even if I never get paid to do this, I'm going to do this. And what I've loved about your teaching, Gary, is, you know, you disentangle some things in that you say, in a sense, you are your calling, right? I mean, your calling isn't out there. You will do things out there, but you are what you offer the world. And so I don't even know what the question you asked us was, but I guess I'd say I want to be more of, you know, that person that Yvette just described. You pick your battles well. You know, there's some things that are worth your life. You get some good technique out there and all of that, but it's really who you're becoming in the process. Yeah, and, you know, I've only spent a little time with Yvette, but she looks you right in the eye and she tells you the truth. And I'm like, that's, you can call a counselor, therapist, that's a helper. That's an ally when you meet someone like that. So she, I mean, I could attest, even with the small amount of time I've been with her, that she's right on track. You know, she's going to pay a price. Yeah, you're welcome. But she's going to do it. She's already doing it. That's the thing. So she'll go through the other stuff to, you know, do it legally and do it professionally. But she's already doing it.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful you told me you're starting. You just started school. And I just thank you for saying all that. It's nice to know I'm not alone.
Hey.
So
I am excited.
So let me ask you guys, we're at 6:45 Mountain Time. So let's just, any final thoughts before we end this call? Anything that, I don't want you to get off the phone and say, gosh, I wish I had mentioned this or shared this. So David, Yvette, John, any final thoughts?
Did I just yawn? I didn't yawn. I think that's what you said.
No, I said John. I said Yvette,
John.
David, John, not Sean.
Oh, John. I thought you said, is that John? Okay.
And you did say back there, trauma, not drama, right, with a D? Anyway, go ahead.
Quit talking like John Hard from the South, you know? It's a yawn. Is that John or yawn? I don't know. So I now have nothing profound to say.
No, go ahead.
No, you go. I'll play off of you.
Well, I interrupted you. Sorry about that. But there's just that, you know, that I've just valued so much of what I've learned from Gary. And just to know, to have, you know, heads up, you know, when you get closer to certain areas of your calling, that, you know, kind of the accusations you're going to hear are going to be this. And you're going to, you know, just so much of that has, I've just been, because I've had that already, I've been able to just kind of see it and name it. And it doesn't mean that I still feel like great in the process, but I know where it's coming from. And so it doesn't throw me as hard as it used to. Gary's teachings have just been so invaluable through this, and just to encourage people that follow the desires of your heart. They're there for a reason. And God is good, and he delights in giving good gifts to those who follow him.
Yep, that's really good. I don't know who said it. I don't know when I heard it, but many years ago I heard the idea of don't waste your pain. And, yeah, I mean, what's worthy of your pain? And so we all know that. I mean, it's not just, oh, well, that's the nature of the world. It just kind of sucks that, you know, to get what you want is going to be hard. It's not that. We're literally wired and created to face adversity. And when we do it, when we go through it, we're actually changing. I mean, it literally brings physical, emotional, spiritual change about when you go through adversity. So, you know, there was places at times in this program where, there were times like, I don't even want to be in this room. This is hard. I don't like feeling this way. But it's not only, well, hey, we got through it. It's like, man, when you were in that, change was taking place. I'll leave you with one thought, and I never heard of it until I went into this program. It's called neuroplasticity, and it means you wire your brain, but guess what? It's not wired. It's not hardwired forever. Your brain, as long as you're alive, is malleable. It can change. So change is possible. Mm-hmm. So, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is pursue whatever it is that you feel is the strength and the purpose of your life, and in the pursuit itself will be the change that you want to offer the world. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good.
Boy, that's good. I usually have a final comment, but you just kind of just captured it right there. That's really good. John, anything?
Yeah, just real quickly, I think the most powerful thing I heard tonight was when I asked about the spouses, and Yvette said her husband and her best friend both said no, and yet she felt compelled. And that just struck me that her compelling was so strong that they had to see that and really bless her in spite of them thinking that she really shouldn't. I just love that. Following your compelling, not just your desire, but what it is that compels you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they did eventually bless that.
Yeah.
For the record.
Yeah. Well, and I'm inspired by this conversation because, one, it's just very easy to not pursue what you have a sense is needed in your life because it's costly in some way. Time, relationships, money, something, risk. And it feels like to me the older we get, the more that risk is something we just become adverse to. Everything I read tells me the same thing. So just the fact that you two pursued this and what it was like and now what you've gained through it is inspiring. So thank you for sharing those stories with us. And again, I'm just intrigued that we have four members kind of our community here between Base Camp and the Secret Garden who have gone through this, all from different walks of life, you know, doing different things in their life, and yet they've all done this. And I just think that's fascinating. I love to hear stories like that. So thank you, Yvette and David, for doing this. So this has been a great night. And everyone, thanks for joining us. John, thanks for doing this with me. And we will hopefully get back together the next Thursday, and I'll let you know. All right. Good
awesome,
night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Bye. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Bye, John.
Good night. Hey.
Bye, John. Good
night.
I love your accent, John. You